Hi, I'm Ashley Cooley, a birth, baby, and sleep specialist and mom of three. There's so much information out there, right? This show is dedicated to helping you clear out the noise so you can figure out what will work best for your baby and your family. If you're looking to learn more about your baby, gain more confidence in your parenting, and get as much sleep as you can through it all, you've come to the right place. Bringing up baby is about to get a little easier. Everybody, welcome back to the Bringing Up Baby podcast. My name is Ashley Cooley. I'm the owner of Birth Baby Sleep and host of the show, obviously. And today we're going to be talking about the time change. We've got a time change coming up here on Sunday, March 10th, 2024. The clocks are moving ahead. You know what? Of all the time changes, or well, of the two time changes we get a year, for most of us, actually, I should preface that by saying not everybody, not all places, not all countries, not all provinces in Canada do a time change. I'm still waiting, though not holding my breath, for the day that Nova Scotia decides, or maybe even the rest of Canada decides to stop doing this. We don't need this anymore. But anyway, that's not what today's about. We are having it. The time is changing. Sunday, March 10th. So I want to talk about that. But of the twice a year that this stuff happens, the one in the spring forward, the one we're getting up to here, is usually the one that most parents can wrap their heads around a little bit, because if you happen to have an early morning riser, I'll say extra early because 6 o'clock is early, but it's reasonable, it's normal, it's expected kind of from a baby, but or a young child. But if they're waking up any earlier than that, and you've been kind of racking your brain around like, how can we stop waking up so early? How can we get to a more reasonable wake up time during the day? This time change could be the catalyst for that and help you get into a new pattern. So we need to think about first, though, that there's probably, well, there is a reason why they're waking up so early. So if that's the situation that you're in, you have an extra early morning riser, they're waking up sometime before 6 o'clock, before you would prefer, or that, you know, would work out better for them if they could sleep in a little bit more. They're either overtired or they're undertired, or there's some kind of habit that has been building and happening, and we're perpetuating that a little bit. So there would definitely be a reason. So we want to use this time change to get us going in the right direction of having a later wake up. So if they happen to wake up at 5:30 in the morning right now, come Sunday, March 10th, it's going to be 6:30. So way more reasonable. But we don't want them to revert back to those early morning wake ups. So we have to use this as a catalyst for getting them onto a new system or schedule or something like that. So not what we're going to really dive into here today are those early morning wake-ups, but we do have a podcast episode on early morning wake-ups. You got to scroll back a little bit. It's from November 16th, 2021, season 2, episode 6. So go ahead and find that episode and make sure you listen to it in addition to this one if you have an early riser and we're coming up to the time change. But otherwise, we are just going to talk generally about this time change and a couple of different ways that you can help prepare or help your little one adjust to this time change. We all go through a period of adjustment here, even the adults, because obviously, well, in the springtime, we're losing an hour and it takes us all at least a few days to adjust to that. Our internal body clocks need that adjustment, okay? So we're going to have a little bit of empathy. We're going to have some understanding that it's maybe probably going to take our little ones a little time to adjust as well. But with that being said, here are a couple different ways that we can help them with this. Obviously, these things depend on your little one. If they seem really sensitive to change, you might actually want to try and preemptively like work at shifting their schedule beforehand. So starting tonight, maybe. Or you might just decide to wing it on the weekend and then come Sunday, jump into the new time. That's typically how we like to do things here. But also my kids are older, so it's a lot easier for me to say that now. And I also have school-aged kids. So if any of your little ones are school-aged and you're coming up to March break, which is the start of all of this, you might be in this kind of sleeping in later bedtimes for a good week or so before you're feeling like you need to adjust them because it's March break. So anyway, let's start. Let's talk about what's one way that you can help them slowly prepare for this time change? And what are you going to do come the day of the time change, whether you prepared them or not, to get them adjusted as quickly as possible? So first, let's talk about the gradual approach. Basically, starting tonight, or starting right now when you're listening to this, we're a few days ahead of the time change now, not even a full week. But if you can try to shift their schedule about 15 minutes earlier each day, or maybe every 2 days from now until the time change, they'll be that much closer to being adjusted to the new time. So what this means is, not only do you want to shift their bedtime to be a little bit earlier, but you want to shift the naps to be a little bit earlier. You want to try shifting the meal times to be a little bit earlier. The more things in their day that you can shift all together, the easier it will make this. But this is not always doable. In fact, it rarely is, I'll be honest. Most people aren't really adjusting this way, but I'm putting it in here. It's still a valid way to help them, because sometimes, again, like, we might have those what we call sensitive sleepers, where any bit of change can really throw them off. Stretching their wake window or shortening it just by a couple of minutes or something like that here and there just totally throw things off. So if that is the situation for your little one or little ones, maybe just trying to get everything to be a little bit earlier for a few days leading up to the time change will get them that much closer to being adjusted. So this isn't, well, this is easier said than done. So if they typically go to bed at 7 p.m., you can't just necessarily take 15 minutes out of their wake window and put them to bed 15 minutes earlier and expect them to fall asleep. They could still take their good old time to fall asleep and maybe just add that 15 minutes on when they're in the crib on their own, and then everything ended up staying the same. So you might have to actually wake them up from a nap or two today to get that early bedtime to happen. Again, can you see how this technique or this strategy isn't for everybody? Because the thought of waking your little one up from a nap, I know, is bonkers. It's for the good of this time change, like, we're doing it for a purpose, but just saying that this may or may not be the right strategy for you, but it can still be helpful. So today's Tuesday. If you're listening to this on the day that this episode drops, then you've got until Saturday night to help shift things to be a little bit earlier. So maybe Tuesday night's bedtime, tonight's bedtime, and tomorrow night's bedtime, you try to shift it by 15 minutes earlier. Then maybe Thursday night, Friday night's bedtime, you do another 15 minutes. So now we're a full half hour earlier than where we were. Maybe Saturday night, you add another 10 or 15 minutes. So come Sunday, you're almost at that hour of being adjusted, okay? So after a couple more days, you can just continue to shift, or by Sunday, just jump into the new time because you're that much closer to it already. So having at least 2 days for them to be at this quote-unquote new time, everything's 15 minutes earlier before shifting it again, using a slow approach like that, and maybe 15 minutes is too much, maybe it's just 10 minutes, but having a slower approach to creeping up to this time change, again, just might help them adjust. And maybe still next week, after the time has changed, you're still shifting things a little bit to get back to where they were. But hey, if you're on maternity leave or parental leave, or you're on March break, or you don't have to like get up and go to work and have all the things happen come Monday, March 11th, then you've got time to do that and no one's rushing you. So please feel free to take that and roll with it. My personal way to adjust to the time change is, sometimes we consider the Saturday night bedtime and maybe keep them up later or try to get them to bed at an earlier time, depending. Again, my kids are older, so it's a little bit easier to say this. My youngest is 5 years old. So we can maybe shift that a little bit easier than most of you right now. But I've been there with the little ones. And when they're napping, it can be harder, but can also give us something to play with. So like I was saying earlier, maybe it means you wake them up a little bit earlier than normal so that they can get to bed a little bit earlier than normal, so that when everything is shifted the next day, we're kind of on target. But All that to be said, I don't want to confuse things. I don't want to make things harder than they need to be. So either you choose to shift their schedule a little bit by 10 or 15 minutes every couple of days from now to the time change, so they're just a little bit already in that adjustment zone, or come Sunday, March 10th, you wake up. Normally you'd be waking up at 6 a.m. with them, but now today it's 7 a.m. So now you're just going to get on this new time and think to yourself, oh, look, they slept in, which they didn't. But, you know, it's just, I want you to not look back. Don't look back at what time was it yesterday when they were napping. Okay, so now I have to make sure that they nap at the same time. Like, no, go by their wake windows. Okay, so everything's going to be shifted further ahead. So if they usually wake up at 6 and you would put them down for a nap at 8:30, now they're waking up at 7, so you're going to put them down for a nap at 9:30. Okay, so everything shifted a little bit later. We also need to consider the age of your baby. And so we had an episode come out. I'm going to check it right now exactly what date it was. It was not that long ago. It was called That Afternoon Nap. It was from November 21st, 2023. It's called That Afternoon Nap, episode 66. And this one dives into what can happen if your little one is on a two nap schedule. So maybe they're 8 months to about, I don't know, 14, 15 plus months. It really varies how long they're on two naps for. But if they're on two naps a day and that was a good system, and now everything shifted later on Sunday, March 10th. And so their nap that would normally start at 8:30 and they'd sleep for an hour and a bit, now starting at 9:30. So now they're waking up from that morning nap later than usual. So then when you put them down for the afternoon nap, things might get spicy. They could maybe skip their nap. That's what that episode is talking about, is that that's sometimes the one occasion where you do want to wake them up from a nap, from the morning one, so that they get that afternoon nap. So perhaps, depending on the age of your child, that's another episode that you want to check out ahead of this time change, is to try to maybe avoid them skipping a nap. But trust me when I say it's so common and almost expected that naps the day after a time change, maybe 2 days after, but especially the day of the time change. So on that Sunday, naps are sometimes shorter than usual, and sometimes one of them may even get skipped. So we need to try to prevent that if we can. So again, why I say go check out that afternoon nap episode if your little one's on two naps a day. Or also maybe it's just kind of understanding that this is part of the adjustment and we're just going to stick to this new time and roll with it and keep going and don't look back. Other than that, other than maybe shifting it gradually a few days beforehand or winging it and just jumping into the new time on Sunday, taking whatever shifts in their schedule and naps and all that come with it, but we're on the new time and the sooner and more consistent we can just be on this time, the quicker they will adjust. Those are really our options. When it comes to other things that you can do, it's really going to be more about the routines and how light or dark it is in your home. So again, remember that it's going to be lighter out in the evenings now. So you might want to close those drapes, close those blinds, make sure their rooms are nice and dark, because when you're putting them to sleep or getting them ready, we want them to notice that it's dark out. It's bedtime, right? It's nighttime mode. But then in the morning, for at least the next little while, it is going to be darker out in the morning. So as soon as that sun gets up, if you're able to get them outside and get in some of that vitamin D and that sunlight into those eyeballs for a few minutes in the morning, that also really helps adjust their internal body clocks. But a lot of that's really going to come down to just going through the motions for the next couple of days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, after the time change, where you get up and you have your breakfast and you do your activities for the day. Like, that's really what ultimately is going to help us all shift, is just time. Time in this new time frame, time zone, whatever you want to call it. And having that consistency help them adjust. But if you have an early morning riser, definitely check out our early morning wake-ups episode to continue to avoid that. You get on that new time, things are going to look really good for you on Sunday, but we want to make sure that those early mornings don't come back. So we want to tackle the reasons why they were there in the first place. So make this time change work for you. Or we're just going to go into it on Sunday. We're going to wing it. We're going to the times that we eat and the activities that we're doing and the consistency over that over a couple of days is going to help them adjust very beautifully. So having said all that, you know you can always reach out for extra help. We have a Bringing Up Baby community membership where we talk about this so much and can help you troubleshoot, can help you navigate this time on a regular basis with myself, unlimited access to myself and other members of the group. So that's always there for you. Of course, we can do some one-on-one chats and even just check in on Instagram. Send me a DM, or every once in a while we put up a Q&A in our stories. So we're always here for extra help, but I hope this episode helps you prepare for it, that time change, or at the very least know that we're all in this together. Most of us believe that there should never be a time change again, but we're just stuck on this system until somebody figures out that we don't need this anymore and we can stop doing this. But until that day comes, we're here for you, and happy sleeping. If you're looking for more information or support along your parenting journey, check out birthbabysleep.ca. That's where you're going to find prenatal classes, postpartum and new baby resources, and sleep support during the childhood years. You can now join our Bringing Up Baby community membership as well, which has tons of additional benefits to helping you through all kinds of sleep challenges and transitions, navigating the transition to solid foods, and even your transition through early parenthood. If you have any questions, just send them my way. Lastly, but certainly not least, if you got something out of this episode or our show in general, leaving a rating or a quick review goes a really long way to helping others find us. So please consider leaving one. That's all for now. I'm Ashley Cooley, and we'll see you back here next time.